Okay, the Boisai. Today's daf is daf Yud Gimel, and we're holding two lines from the bottom of the Amud. As we recall, at the very end of the Mishnah, we learned that although you're allowed to do certain malachas on Chol HaMoed, don't schedule them in advance for Chol HaMoed. And in fact, if a person was mechaven malacha, in other words, he decided this particular malacha we're going to do on Chol HaMoed, it says in the Mishnah, Yoivdu or Yoveidu, which means you're not allowed to have Hano'ah from that malacha. The particular case the Mishnah was talking about was a person who had flax that was soaking. It has to be removed before it spoils. He could have removed it before Yontif. He said, why should you do before Yontif? I got plenty of time during Chol HaMoed. I'm not doing anything anyway on Chol HaMoed. Let's do it then. Oh, you can do that. Therefore, if he's keeping malacha but moed, yevedu, he loses the benefit of the hanoah from that pishtan. And now the Gemara is going to ask a very, very good question. Boy minei Rabbi Yirmiyah mi Rabbi Zeira, keeping malachti but moed umas maush yiknesu banav acharov. The person who did that, for instance, soaking of the flax, and he was mechaven to go and remove it on Chol HaMoed, and he removed in a Chol HaMoed, and therefore he himself has no right to have Hanoah. What happens if Chas HaSholem, now that person passed away? Whether his passing was related to the fact that he violated Chol HaMoed, doesn't say, but doesn't make a difference. Because the Gemara Shaila is, what about the children? Are they allowed to have Hanoah from that Pishta? And what the Gemara's question is, and using Barry's favorite terminology, is it a question of a kenas on the gavra or a kenas on the chefza? Kenas here means a penalty. Are we penalizing the individual who went and was mechaven melachta b'moed, and therefore it's only he? He's the one that did it wrong. Everybody else in the world are not punished, including his children. Or do you say, no, that this Mishra and this Pishtan is now usher to him because of what he did, and therefore not only to him, amen, but also to his children, because the children now have taken over the estate for their father. And the Gemara initially tries to bring a raya from two other cases, unrelated but parallel. If you're going to tell me, Lagabi, the case of Tzoram Oizen Bechor, what is the Gemara talking about? There's a halacha that if a person gets a bechor, here we're talking about a bechor, behema tahira, he has to hand it over to the kohanim. In the times of the Beis Hamikdash, the kohen would bring it for a karbon. Unfortunately today, that there is no Beis Hamikdash, what does the kohen have to do? He just has to wait and wait and wait until it gets a mum. And this bechor might not get a mum for 5 or 10 or 20 years. And unfortunately, therefore, it's a wasting asset. It's costing him money to go and feed and preserve this bechor. But until he gets a mum, he cannot do anything with it. He cannot go and take the giza. He can't shear off the wool. He can't use his bechor to do avoida. And what, therefore, does the kohen think in the back of his mind? There is a financial incentive that there should be a mum. And if a mum doesn't happen naturally, unfortunately, some people will go to the point of creating a mum. And if you create a mum, you're oivra and iser in the Torah, because the Torah says, kol mum lo yeboi, and the Gemara darshins lo yehayeboi. You're not allowed to cause a mum to a bechor, or for that matter, to any kachim. So if a person causes a mum to kachim, he's oivra and iser. And the Chachamim said, not only oivra and iser, but you won't be able to use this bechor. You were trying to accomplish that now that it has a mum, you'll be able to go and shecht it and eat it outside the base of Mikdash. Kenas, you cannot. You won't be able to use it. What happens now if that father who caused the mum never passed away? And now he has children, and the children say, we have nothing to do with it. We didn't cause the mum. Father caused the mum. Can they use it? Can they not use it? That's a shaila which the Gemara brings in Kachim. And now the question is, how do you paskin? So our Mishnah says that Imtim Suleiman, if you're going to go and paskin in that other case, that Tzorim Oizen Bechor, Kontzu B'nai Achrav, then in fact it's not only a Knas on the Gavra, on the person, but it's on the Cheftz, it's on the Bechor. And therefore even the children may not have Hanoah from this Bechor. And if you want to say the same thing, should apply over here to the Pishtun, that the person was Mechavin Melachti B'moyed. That's really not a good riot. Mishum Disura Tiraisa. There is being Oivinis in the Torah. The Torah says, Kamum Liyaboy, and he caused there to be a mum. He was Oivinisir. Oh, Chacham said, not only is this Balmum also to you, but it's also even to your children. In our case over here, since this person needed to go and pull out the Pishtun and a Mishra, it was a Hefsin Baruba, the Pishtun would go bad. The only thing that he did wrong was that he was Kim Malach the Bamoyed. So that's only an Issad Rabbanah, it's not an Issad Diaraisa. Issad Rabbanah, maybe they only counted him, and they didn't count his children. That's one way of looking at it. Vim Timtza Loimar, there is a similar parallel situation. And what is that? Mocher Avdi Li Ervin Kechavim. If a person owns an Eved Kenani, the halacha is that Eved Kenani belongs to him forever and ever. However, he's not allowed to sell the Eved Kenani to a goy, to a Gentile. Why not? Because every Eved Kenani has all of the mitzvahs ke'isha. Why does he have all the mitzvahs ke'isha? Because we learn from a pasuk la, like chuf shalenita la, and here it says cross of la. We learn that the din of a Eved Kenani is just like a woman. Now, what does it mean, just like a woman? Just like a woman has all of the isurei lo yisesa, all the negative commandments, as well as all of those positive mitzvahs that are not tolui bizman groma, have nothing to do with time. Oh, so a woman is mechuyev in all of those mitzvahs. Guess what? Eved Kenani is also mechuyev in all of those mitzvahs. But if I'm going to go and sell my Eved Kenani to a goy, he won't be able to go and do any mitzvahs, because the goy is going to say, come on, what do you have mitzvahs? It's a goy. And therefore, you are denying this Eved Kenani from doing mitzvahs. So if a person were to be over and to go and sell this Eved Kechavim, what's the din? The halacha is, there's a kenas on him that he can never take this Eved back to work for himself. Now, if this person dies and he has children, the children want to know, can we take the Eved back for ourselves? Zokti Gemara, konsu im timtza loimar. If you're going to be poshut in that parallel shayla, then mocher avdei kechavim meis, konsu benoi achrav, they did impose the penalty not only on the father but also on the son. You know why? There you're doing a tremendous injustice to this Eved Kenani, that you are mafkir him, you're removing him from being able to go and do a mitzvah, and therefore we put a knas not only on the father but also on the kids. But hachamai gavra konis rabbanon, well, would I say by the case of the Pishtun that he was mechavim lachti b'moyed, maybe the kenas was only on the gavra b'halesa and he passed away, and therefore the children are allowed to use the pishtun? Or he did m'moyna kenas rabbanim. Maybe the chacham put a kenas on the money, meaning on the pishtun itself. V'ha'isei, and that of course is still around, and therefore none of the family members are able to have now hanor from that pishtun.
Isn't that similar to Shabbos? If someone's mevashel the Shabbos, like he's not allowed to eat the stuff, and also members of his household, or
you bring a very nice case of a nice parallel case where a person was even hilchos Shabbos, what the din is for the other family members. We'd have to look back in Masechta Shabbos. I believe that the other family members can eat it. He can't eat it, but it also depends on whether or not it was done b'shogig or b'mezid. Mm-hmm. If he intentionally violated Shabbos, and then I think, at least according to Birchan Asandler, I think it becomes awesome to everyone.
Or until after Shabbos, he becomes mutter.
I think he says Asher Olamis is the legend.
Olamis, but for everybody. Yeah. Mashenkin, if it's b'shogig, then it's only him and not the others, and then it depends on b'chdeshiyas and matzah Shabbos, and if you have to wait an hour or two for the period of time to go and cook. So there's a three-way machlokes over there. So that's a nice parallel to what we're talking about. So the Gemara now is asking here the same question: what's the din? Is the Pishtun osur to the children or not? Zok the Gemara. Omalei tivisua. I can bring you a raya. And with the raya I'm going to bring is a Mishnah in Masechet Shviyas, which of course applies to this year, to the Shmita year. What is the same in the Mishnah? Sadosh niskavtza b'shviyas. The word niskavtza is from a Russian kotzim. Kotsu means thorns. So a field where you collected the thorns from the field, you should not have done that, because when it comes Shemitah, you're basically, you should leave the field and not touch it and not do anything, do something else. Go and be a computer programmer. Go and teach in schools. Do something else. Work in an office. But you're not supposed to do any work in the field. And this person was niskaf, so he went and collected the kotzim. There's some noise in the background. Please put yourselves on mute, Rabbi Sang. So niskaf, so they were kotzim and they were thorns, and they collected those thorns in Shemitah year. Tizral Matsui Shabbat. After Shvius is over, you're allowed to use this field and start planting as if nothing happened. However, if instead of collecting thorns, Netaiva oi Nedaira, Netaiva means if he placed Zevel on the field, he fertilized the field. Or Nedaira, we had that yesterday, the day before, that he collected together animals and he had them all stand and live for, let's say, a day or two in one particular corner of the field. He put up partitions that they shouldn't go away, that's a Lashon Dira, and they stayed there. And during that period of time, they had to relieve themselves. And so therefore, they produced fertilizer. And then he moved them on to the next few feet, and then further and further. And ultimately, the whole field became fertilized as a result of these temporary quarters for the animals. That's also prohibited. But what happens if he did it? Like Tizl Matzoi Shvius, you're not going to have enough from that fertilizer on Matzoi Shvius, because what you did is wrong. Why is there a difference between the Niskafta case and the Taiva and the Netaira case? So the Tav Tosis tells us, because we're talking about that the thorns were not attached to the ground, they were only lying on the field floor, and what I did was I swept them up. That's not an Issa Deraisa, that's only an Issa Deraban. So you look at the Tav Tosis on the third line, V'tzarechloyme de'ayri, now on the fourth line, V'kotzim t'lushim, that they are already tallish, they were already uprooted from the ground. I'm sorry?
It was called tumbleweed.
Tumbleweed? Okay.
Yeah.
Tumbleweed, okay. So the tumbleweed is the name of these kotzim, of these, of these thorns?
Are you sure they're not tumble thorns?
No, tumbleweed, I believe.
Oh.
Maybe it also depends on how you collected them, if you were tumbling or stumbling over them as you're collecting them. Okay, but regardless, so we have a difference between the skavt and the taiva and the daira on matashvir. But now let's talk about Taka, the second case, the taiva and the daira case. So this fellow went and he caused his field to be fertilized either by directly applying fertilizer or by having the animals produce their own natural fertilizer. He shouldn't have done that. And he's now allowed to go and plant in this field now, matashvir. V'yom Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, noktinon. We have a Masoira. We believe that the Allah is that Heitiva. What happens if the person did that? He did fertilize the field. Umes, and the person who did it passed away. Benoi Zara, then the son can go and plant this field, Matzeshvias, even though the father could not, the son can't. Alma, what do we see clearly now from Hilchos Shemitah? L'didei konzerabon lebrei loy konzerabonon. That this was a kenas on the gavra, not on the chefza. Only the father is prohibited from going and planting the field. But it doesn't apply to the son. The son didn't do anything. Is Hachanami, the same thing should apply here to Hilchos. Chol amoyed, l'didei konzerabon lebrei loy konzerabon. Omer Abaye says, I have a similar parallel case. What is this case over here? This is a case where someone else owns Taharois, for instance, he owns Truma, and I, who may be Tomei, how did I become Tomei? Because I was just at a Levaya, and I became Tomei to Masmes, or I became Tomei because I touched an Avela, or a dead Sheret, and I know that this other fellow owns these Taharis or this Truma, and I don't particularly like him, and I want to cause him a hezek, so I go over the Truma or the Taharis, and I touch it. And guess what happens? It becomes now Tomei. I caused that person damage. Anytime you damage someone, you got to go and pay. That's this week's Parsha. Parsha's Mishpatim talks at great length about damaging somebody else's person or property. However, this is a case of what we call the Hezek She'enoi Nikar, meaning that other than great Tzadikim and Kedoshim that can go and feel and realize that there's Tumah here, your average person looks at the Truma or the Taharis, he looked at it 5 minutes earlier, he looks at 5 minutes later, no change, it looks exactly the same. It's only a spiritual damage and not a physical damage. What's halacha? It's a machloikus with hezek sheni nikar shmei hezek lav shmei hezek. Agmar is going according to the man diyomar that hezek sheni nikar loy shmei hezek, and therefore min hatoyra he's potter to go and pay. You have to pay the drabanan, not min hatoyra. What's the halacha now? If he was metam the taris of somebody else, umeis, and he passed away, the son doesn't have to pay for the damage caused by the father. The father had to pay. The father died. The son doesn't have to pay. My time, because hezek shein nikar shmei hezek. And the only reason why the father has to go and pay in the first place is because midrabana. So we see in another parallel situation where they only put a knas on the gavra, not on the chavta, and therefore the son is potter. The same thing by chalamoid, and the same thing by shmita. And Barry has a question.
Usually, in the Intif Salomar template, if the cases build on one another.
It feels like there's a non sequitur. Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. Here, the Gemara is really quoting bits and pieces from other Gemaras. The first Intim Tzolaymar is a Shaila in Kachim, I think in Sechot Bechoyrois, I think in Daf Lamedalet, if I'm not mistaken, where there the Gemara asks this Shaila, what's the din if a person were to go and cause a mum, what's the din regarding the son? Whatever the Gemara is poshet, our Gemara says, even if you're going to go and be machmer over there, and say that the halacha should be, that we should be koinish benoi. That's because it isn't deraisa. And then we have a similar Gemara. This Gemara the Gabei the Mocher Eved, which is a Gemara in Masechtas Gittin, where it talks about different kinyonim, and one of the things that they talk about is you sell an Eved. You're not allowed to sell an Eved, but he did sell it. So if you hold that it's Kontzer B'nai Achrav, what would you hold over here? So Gemara is saying in both cases, even if you would be Machmir by Mum and Eved respectively, here you might not be Machmir because it's not a Diraisa and it's not a case of Mafkiyah Meramitzas. On to the next mission. Zot mission by Tein Mochin Vatim Avodim Uveheimo El Tzeir Chamoyed Oy Tzeir Chamoycha Shein LeMayoychas On Cholamoyed. Don't make a major purpose, a purchase like Batim Avodim Uveheimo. Of course, you can go and buy fruits and vegetables and things like that. You have to eat, but you don't have to go and buy a bias. You have to go and close on a house. You have to go and buy an eved. You have to buy a bema. Tavka and chol moed. So you can't do that. El letzarech moed, unless you absolutely need it for the moed. A person, his house, chas v'sholom, burned down, rachman letzlan, he needs a place to live. Oh, you got to wait until after Yom Tov. When am I going to live now during Yom Tov? Yeah, letzarech moed, you're allowed to buy a bias. Person, his avodim died, and he needs an eved to do whatever in the house, or the business, what have you, and talking about a dobra ave, so he's allowed to. Same thing a behema. You need it, tzarech ha-moyed, you're allowed to. Oy, letzarech ha-moycher. The moycher needs it. You yourself don't need it, but the moycher needs to go and sell this bias, this eved, or this behema. What's the reason why? Shein l'mayoychal, because Nebuchadnezzar, the moycher himself, is desperate, he has no panasa, and this way he'll be able to make a couple of dollars, and he'll be able to go and eat something. So now the Gemara asks the following question. Since at the end of the Mishnah, we are allowing a person to do melacha on cholamoy, not for his benefit, but for somebody else, because in my yoichal, he's allowed to go and engage in this transaction. So let me ask you a parallel situation. Yanko comes and knocks on your door, and you say, no, what's the story, Yanko? I'm in very, very desperate straits. Can I give you tzedakah? No, chas v'shalom, I don't take any tzedakah. But what I would do is I could use a job. Could you hire me to do anything? To go and mop the floors, to go and fix this, to do that? Whatever. Malachas that you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, are you allowed to go and hire a person? Even though you yourself personally don't need it. As far as you're concerned, you have enough help. You don't need anybody else to do any work for you. But the only reason why you want to do it is to give this guy a job so that he should have some money. Because Ein LeMayoychal, Nebuchadnezzar, the guy is poor, and he's too proud to take tzedakah, Baruch Hashem. And can you go and give him a job and pay him on Chol HaMoed? Just like you can go and buy a bias, evident behemoth, even though you don't need it on Chol HaMoed, but just to give panasa to the moicher, here you're giving panasa to this poor fellow. So the Chayra, we have a raya from our Mishnah. Mao, Amalei Tanina, it says in our Mishnah, Al-Tzerech HaMoycha She'en LeMayoycha. So it says the Gemara, La Suye Mai. What does it come to include? Lav La Suye Schar Pu'ula. Now, I don't see any zehaklal in the Mishnah
right.
that the Gemara is asking about. So what's going on over here? So the way Rashi is learning, based on the way the Bach amends the Rashi, is that you have to put a comma here in the Gemara, and that is it says Tanina. We learned in the Mishnah. Oyin the tzirich hamoicher. The Choyra after tzirich hamoicher put a comma or a semicolon. That would be enough just to say the Mishnah. The reason that you're not allowed to go and buy a bayis ever behema, unless it's for tzirich for you for the moed, or it's for the tzirich for the moicher. Period. Why does the Mishnah have to continue on now? She'ein le'mayyoycha lasuyamay. These extra four words, the Choyra, are unnecessary. I understand that we're saying that there is a tzayrich, either that I have a tzayrich, or that the moicher has a tzayrich, and we're talking about a permissible tzayrich. So, Ibazoi, why is it necessary to add the words in the mayoicha? Ah, it must be that Rabbeinu HaKodesh put in those four words, la suya, the case of schar pu'ula, not only a case of a transaction of a sale, but also the case of hiring a worker to be able to get some bread on the table for Chol HaMoed and for the second days of Yom Kippur. So the Choyra have arrived. Everybody, oh, my Lord, Perusha Kamafarish. It could be that the Mishnah is simply explaining, what is this Tzarech HaMoicha? The Moicha puts up a sign, I have to go and sell the bias. Why do you have to sell the bias? Wait until after Yom Tov. Oh, I'll tell you why. She'ema Mayoichel. Unfortunately, he's poor and he needs the money just to be able to put bread on the table. So therefore, it's not Lasuye to include the case of the Poel, but rather it's just explaining what is the Tzarech and the Moicher that's so desperate that he wants to go and sell one of these items.
I'm sorry, could you repeat what the question was again? Or what the issue with the Mishnah was?
The after the Mishnah says that you're allowed to go and sell, buy Batim Avodim Ubehema, either because you need it for Chol HaMoed, or because the Moicher needs this sale.
Okay.
And the Mishnah adds the word She'in Mayoichel, because the Moicher unfortunately has nothing to eat.
Right.
So the Gemara asks the question now. What happens if we're not talking about buying or selling real estate or animals or Avodim? We're talking about simply a person who has fallen on hard times and he needs some money, mm-hmm. and he comes to you in Chol HaMoed and says, can you use a worker to work for you in Chol HaMoed? No, Baruch Hashem, all the work that's been done was done before Yom Tov. Any work that needs to be done will do after Yom Tov. I don't need any workers now. Okay, you don't need it, but I need it, because I need the money. Unfortunately, I have no job, and unfortunately I have no money, and I can't put bread on the table, or challah, or matzah, or anything.
Okay.
So the question is, are you allowed to go and hire him to do malacha for you on Chol HaMoed, even though you don't need it, but he needs it for his
partner? Can we say pikuach nefesh, or something along those lines?
I guess we're not at the point of pikuach nefesh, because if you put pikuach nefesh, then you can close all the gemaras and all the sedurim and everything,
so
and you can do everything.
If it says I have nothing to eat, that's not considered like on the...
Presumably he could have borrowed from someone, presumably he could have gone to his grandmother, and she would have had some gemaras in him, or
right.
he could have gone to the kupas tzedakah, he could have gone to the charity organization, they were right. given him, so but he's too proud, he doesn't want to, and therefore he's asking, please, I want to get a job, can you go and give him that job so that he should be able to get some money and put money and put food on the table? So the Gemara wanted to bring a raya from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah adds the full word she'ein l'mayoichal. It would have been enough to say you can't go and buy or sell batim avodim behema unless it's for your benefit for the moed or it's for the benefit of the moicher for chol HaMoed. Why did the Mishnah add she'ein l'mayoichal? So the Gemara wanted to say, oh, it must be telling us not another case besides the express case of the Mishnah, the implicit case. The implicit case is this fellow who needs work to be able to go and support his family.
So the reason why they added this verse,
She'en l'mayoichel, those four words.
Right, so what's the reason?
The Gemara has thought in the Havamina that the reason is to go and tell us two things. That you cannot go and buy batim avodim ubehema unless it's letzorech hamocher, that the mocher needs for some reason to go and sell them. Doesn't say why he needs to sell them. Maybe because the government wants to put a tax lien on it. Maybe because somebody's challenging him in court. I don't know why, but he needs to go and sell it desperately now on Chol HaMoed. Otherwise, it's going to be for him a hefsid merubah. Maybe it's a field that he wants to go and sell. He doesn't have enough money to put to buy fertilizer and to go and buy any of the other things that you need. And therefore, this field is going to die.
So all of that would be considered Litzorach HaMoed?
That's what the Gemara is assuming in the Havamina.
Litzorach
HaMoker, the Mocher needs, I'm sorry, the Mocher needs to go and sell this property because he's desperate for whatever reason. And if that being the case, why does the Mishnah have to add Shein Lemay Yoichal? So I'll tell you why. Shein Lemay Yoichal is to go and cover our case that we're talking about a person that is Nebuch, a wonderful individual who has no parnasa. So that's what the four words come to add and to include. Says, well, no, you have no riot. Perusha Kama Farsha. Could be that Shein Lemay Yoichal is just explaining what is the terrible, desperate need of this mocher, not because he has a challenge in court or because there's a lien on the property or for whatever reason. The reason is because unfortunately he has nothing to eat, and that's the reason why he's desperate, and that's a good enough reason to allow you to go and buy these items on Chol Hamoed, even though you don't need it for your own purposes. You could easily wait until after Yom Tov, and normally you would have to wait until after Yom Tov, but you're doing this mocher a tremendous favor that you're buying it now, so that you should have parnasa and food on the table.
And Rova's question from Rav Nachman about hiring the person is...
We have not been poached.
Thank you.
Frank, do you want to Eisvei? Eisvei Abayim. Ein koishin shtari choyiv v'moyed. You're not allowed to write a shtar choyiv on moyed. In other words, the sofrim, the scribes that normally would go and write the shtari choyiv, shtari choyiv means a loan document, they have to also go and observe and celebrate Chol HaMoed. So don't write any shtari chov. The name of Maninoi, what happens if the Lovis says to the Malva, but I need to borrow money from you? The Malva says, if I don't get a loan document, if I don't get a note, I'm not going to lend you money because I'm afraid after Yom Tov you're going to deny it. I need a piece of paper. Yeah, but the sofer is not allowed to go and write. No shtar, no tiki, no washi, no shtar, no loan. Minoy, or the way the Bach takes out the word oi, he learns them enamaminoi she'ein loy mayoichal. He doesn't believe the loive, and the loive doesn't have anything to eat. Harize yichdoiv. We allow the soifer to go and write the shtar after all in Chol HaMoed, because even though the soifer doesn't need it, however, this loiva needs it. Har ziyachdev. So tomorrow, she'en lemayoichal esuyamai. What do I need the she'en lemayoichal for? It would be enough to simply say that in Eina Mamina, if the Malva doesn't believe the loiva, then he's not going to lend the money unless the soifer is going to write the shtar. So who, even if the loiva is the type of person, she'esh lemayoichal, he, Baruch Hashem, he has enough, but he needs a loan to be able to, he wants to invest, he wants to buy, he wants to sell, he's preparing for a chat. Whatever the reason is. So it doesn't have to be She'en Lemayoichal. The reason why he wants to give the reason why he's not willing to give the loan to the loiv is because he needs evidence. Without it, he's not going to give him the loan. So therefore we're going to allow the Seifer to go and write it. So what do I need the She'en Lemayoichal for? Lasuyamai. Lav Lasuyas Schar Pu'ula. The Chayyim is coming to include our case of the Schar Pu'ula. What's the Schar Pu'ula? That a person says, I want a job, I don't need to hire you, and I don't want anybody to do malach on my behalf during Chol HaMoed. Mister, please don't be so frum. I need money. I don't have food to put on the table. I said, you're allowed to go and hire him. Shema Minos, so we'll push it from the case of the sofer, who is allowed to go and write. After all, be able to help out the other individual. So now, l'choyre, what it comes out is that the Gemara initially thought that the Ein loy ma yoichal is really just modifying the loan, and I should say the lovet, that the lovet says, I'm desperate for funds, I need it. The malva says, I'm not going to lend it to you unless I have a written note. And therefore the Gemara says is, the Ein loy ma yoichal is unnecessary. And now the Gemara is answering, Ein loy ma yoichal is really giving us another case. The case is not that the low, that the malva is concerned that the low is not going to go and pay, and therefore he needs a written note. It's because the scribe says, I need parnasa. I hear that you're doing a loan. Could you please give the loan document writing to me so I'll be able to write it, so I'll have parnasa. I'll be able to put money on, put food on the table. Ah, if that's the case, so that is almost the case that we're talking about. We're talking about a person that needs parnas and says, give me a job. So the reason why you're allowed to have the scribe write the shtar choyv on moyed, on chol moyed, is number one, in the case where the malva doesn't believe the loyva, doesn't trust him without a written document, or because the soifa ein lamayoichel, the soifa has nothing to eat, and therefore that's the reason we're going to permit the soifa to go and write a shtar, even though normally we wouldn't, but we will, to be able to give him panas. If that's the case, then that will be a poil who says, I need a job, will also allow him to go and hire him and pay him to give him panas.
But the verbiage of the Mishnah is litzorech hamocher, so if we're talking about a person who's writing, the scribe is not tzorech hamocher.
We're not bringing the raya from the Mishnah anymore, we're bringing now from this raya that Abaye is quoting. Eisei Abaye, in koyse sharichoy b'moyed. Why? The main amino, he doesn't talk about a mocher anymore. Talking about the writing of a shtar, right? Of a note.
Shein lo. Who's the lo?
Based on the Mishnah.
Mishnah is history. This is now a brand new raya that Abai is bringing. This in koyzen happens to be a Mishnah on Daf Yud Ches, but it's not our Mishnah. Our Mishnah that we quoted before was about the mocher, a sale, a transaction. Here we're talking about writing shtaris. Shtaris is a document. Are you allowed to write a document?
So I got. So it's not. So not connected not related at all to the Mishnah.
It's connected in the sense that they're all talking about Hilchas Chol HaMoed and what's permissible, what's not permissible. But this particular Mishnah that we're quoting from Daf Yud Ches, have you found it in Daf Yud Ches?
Yes, yes.
No, Baruch Hashem. That Mishnah says, there's certain documents that you are allowed to write on Chol HaMoed. For instance, Shtari Eirusin, person who wants to get married, and therefore he writes Shtar Eirusin Chol HaMoed. That's considered to be a great necessity. Do it now because who knows till they're younger, well, they change their minds.
Is it get mutter?
That's mentioned in Daf Yud Ches. Wait another 5 days, and we're going to go and talk about that in great detail. But for today, all we're worried about now is a person.
Spoiler alert, in this case, it was being permissible, yeah.
We're worried about a person who needs money. And in this case, we're talking now about the scribe needs the money. So the reason why you're allowed to write a shtar choyv b'moed is either because the malva doesn't trust the loiva, or because the scribe needs panas, he said, please let me go and write the shtar. Don't wait until after Yom Tov. After Yom Tov, I don't need it. I need now to go and put challah, matzah, cake, and the fish. And
so that part is in the Mishnah, She'in lo ma yochal.
These two Mishnahs are identical in that sense.
Got it.
In our Mishnah, it says She'in lo ma yochal, and the Daf Yud Ches also says She'in lo ma yochal. So just like we tried to say from our Mishnah that these four words are to include a parenthetical case of a schar p'ula, someone who needs a job, we would doche that. We said, no, that's not the reason. It's Purusha Kamparish. There, in the case of the Shtari Chayv, we did find extra four words, the identical four words, and we said, yo, that's the Suya schar p'ula. And then Rashi says, maybe you're going to go and say, maybe that's also Purusha Kamparish, that the reason why you're allowed to go and write the Shtar is because the Malva doesn't trust the Loiva, and Loiva has no money. Says Rashi, that's not the reason. Anytime the Malva says they don't trust the Loiva, you have to write a note. Whether he does have money to eat, whether he doesn't have money to eat. So, the Ema Mayoichel is not modifying and being mafarish the lack of trust between the Malva and the Loiva, but it's a brand new case that the scribe needs to eat.
In the Mishnah on the Ches Amud Beis at the bottom, it says, Rashi says, Osh Ema Mayoichel, the Sofer.
Okay, so that's good. That's consistent.
Right, exactly.
The Baruch Hashem. Moisir Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, I have a kasha for you. The Chachamim Oimrim. Now, this is a Mishnah in Masechtas Psachim. What does it say in the Mishnah there? The Chachamim Oimrim Shalish Kum Yoyis Oysim Olochim Arvi Psachim Ad Chatzoyis. In many, many communities, the minhag was not to go and do a melacha at all on Erev Pesach, even in the morning. Why? Because people are busy getting ready and bringing their Korban Pesach to the Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, it's a Shtikl Yom Tov today on Erev Pesach. However, three professions they allowed to go and do their malacha like normal because of tzorchei harabim. What were those? Hachayotim, those are the tailors. Vahasaporim, and those are the hairdressers, the barbers. Vakoivsim, and the launderers. All three of those, we need them because if I have a tear in my suit, I won't be able to wear it on Yom Tov. If I need a haircut, I better take my haircut now in Erev Pesach, otherwise I'm going to be stuck until Lag BaOmer, until after Shavuos. And not everybody's willing to go around with long hair the whole time, and so therefore you have to have a haircut from time to time. Vakoivsim, I haven't gone and washed out my laundry now for a month, I better wash it now or it's going to be a reyach nechayach. So those are permitted to do on Erev. Moreover, the Mishnah continues on. You know why? Because we find a parallel elsewhere. We had this in the Mishnah already before a few days ago, that the reason why the Mishnah says the tailor is allowed to work on Erev Yomtiv, because even on Chol HaMoed, which is more chamor than Erev Yomtiv, Chol HaMoed, that's part of Yomtiv itself, according to Rashi and many Rishonim, that's a deraisa, as opposed to Erev Pesach, which is more Rabban and
Malkinim.
Exactly. So that being the case, since on Chol HaMoed we allow for at least some amateurish type of sewing, so then you can go and sew properly and professionally on Erev Yomtiv. And similarly, as a part of our koyfsin, shekein aboyim medina seyam of yoytim beis hasurim. What happens if somebody just returned now from medina seyam? He's been on the high seas now for 6 weeks, and now Baruch Hashem he landed. He needs a haircut, or he needs laundry. But yoytim beis hasurim chas v'shalom nevach a person just came out of jail. Rachmon atzlan. What's the halacha? Since they are b'torim l'chabes, the saper l'chabes v'cholish moed, that's why you're allowed to do it also on Erev Pesach. Okay, so that's a beautiful Mishnah. What does it have to do with us? So do you want Miso Kedaitach? This is Rav Sheshes posing the following kasha. Miso Kedaitach, Schar Pu'ula She'en L'mayoichel Shari, if you're going to tell me that on Chol HaMoed, a person who unfortunately has no job, you can hire him and pay him on Chol HaMoed. So also you see a lot of do work on Chol HaMoed when things are desperate. Now that being the case, is Kol Malach is not a Lishteru, then you should be able to go and hire anyone to do any malacha on Erev Pesach, just like this person is desperate, he needs a job and you're allowed to hire him and pay him on Chol HaMoed. So then why should you be able to go and hire anybody to do anything on Erev Pesach? So you're going to go and tell me, yeah, but that's a similar to, as to use Ariel's expression, it's almost pikuach nefesh. However, all of these cases that the Mishnah are citing are desperate cases, such as the case of the person who just never just came out of jail. He might have been in jail for the last 5 years, or who knows. And a person who just came to Dina saying, oh, they're desperate. I need a haircut now. I need my laundry now. So those are desperate situations. And because of that, we're saying you'll have to do it at Pesach. So Schar Pu'ula, if you're permitting that on Chol HaMoed, you should be able to go and do any Pu'ula on Erev Pesach. But that's not the case. It's only these three. So therefore, it would seem that you cannot hire someone on Chol HaMoed because of the fact that he's desperate. Tell him to go and take from Tzedakah. Let him go and eat the Sudas at his Shviger. I know eating at the Shviger it's really Pikuch Nefesh. But nevertheless, if you have no choice, that's what you got to do. Shviger is a mother-in-law. Yeah. Anyway, you picked it up. Good. So the Chayyim Rav Sheshes has a good point. Master Rav Papa. So Rav Papa now rhetorically says back to Rav Sheshes, Elamayata, based on your approach, Binyan Lishteri, you should be able to go and hire contractors and they should be able to go and build buildings on Erev Pesach. Shekein Koysel HaGoyel Rishus Rabin Soysel Boyne Kedar Koyim Neasakon. We had this a few days ago in the Gemara. What happens if a person has on his property a wall to his chotzer that unfortunately is bending over and is likely or at least possible that it's going to fall at any moment? You're allowed to go and demolish it and rebuild it on Chol HaMoed. Oh, so there is a desperate situation where you allow for rebuilding. So then allow Erev Pesach builders to go and build because there is this possibility of Chol HaMoed. We don't say that. Similarly, Maskul Ravina, Elamayata, Lavo Lishteri, Shekein Koysel Kiddushei Noshim, Gittin! Vishoivrin, that was your question. That you're allowed to go and write these on Chol HaMoed. Sorry, Bazoi, you should allow a Lavler. Lavler is a sofer. You should allow a scribe to write these documents on Erev Pesach. Why? Because you can go and write these documents on Chol HaMoed. But we don't say that. Otherwise, we wouldn't say that the three professions, we would say every profession, and especially scribes, can go and write on Erev Pesach. So you see, just because there are desperate situations where you can go do things on Chol HaMoed, that doesn't automatically mean, okay, now can you do it on Erev Pesach? And therefore, yeah.
So I'm sorry, why can't we use the reverse argument? If on Chol HaMoed you're able to do these malachas, which in Chol HaMoed is more stringent than Erev Pesach, so why not say on Erev Pesach you're allowed to do malachas?
That's exactly the point. The fact that the Mishnah says that only three professions are permitted on Erev Pesach and not any of the others must be that on Chol HaMoed you're not allowed to do these things. Because the Gemara assumes in the Havamina that the basis, the source of the heter on Erev Pesach is because it's mutter in Chol HaMoed. Right. So if that's the case, if all of these things are mutter in Chol HaMoed, they should be mutter in Erev Pesach. But they're not. because only three umniyas, only the chayot and the saparim and the kaifsim. So that must mean lechayra that none of these things are permitted on chol hamoed.
So we didn't bring a mishnah earlier saying that certain malachas are permitted on chol hamoed.
Certain all those things that are permitted on chol hamoed, the gemara assumes should also be permitted on erev Pesach. Now the question is, well, then why does the mishnah only isolate these three? So the gemara says, elamar of Ashi, moed arba asa karamis. You're asking kashas from chol hamoed to arba asa means to erev Pesach. Moed mishum tirchu v'makab say the shorah abanan arba asa mishum tirch yomdevu mitzrach yomdev shorah abanan milatzrach yomdev v'shorah abanan. What the gemara is telling us is that this type of parallel that you wanted to bring one from the other is not a good parallel, because moed and arba asa chol hamoed and erev Pesach are two different parshas, two different dinim. The reason why by chol hamoed you're allowed to go and do certain types of work is because the only time the Chachamim said that you're not allowed to do work, if it's a tircha yisera, but if it's a hafsid, shorabana, you're not allowed to go and have harvacha. Harvacha would mean to have a income, but you're allowed to go and preserve your capital. So that, like we learned in the first Mishnah, that's the difference between the base of Baal and the base of Shlach. So, in Mokim Hafsid, they say tircha is permissible. Arba Asa, nothing to do with that. Arba Asa, the reason why we're permitting certain professions, Mishum Tirch Yomdevu, because people need that profession. People need to be able to go to the tailor, to the laundromat, and to the barber in Erev Yomdev. Mishum Tirch Yomdev, Sharabban, something which you need. You don't permit it. And essentially what the Gemara therefore is telling us is that even though the Mishnah Maseches Pesachim makes reference to the fact that these three umdias are mutter on Erev Yom Tov, because we find that under certain situations they're also mutter chol hamoed, the Gemara doesn't mean that, the Mishnah didn't mean that as the primary source. It rather meant that as kind of an additional
support.
An additional support. The real reason why you're allowed to do these three things on Erev Yom Tov is because
Tzarech Rabim,
people need barbers, people need laundromats, people need tailors. By the way, you should know it's not such a big chiddush, because we find in other circumstances, like chol hamoed, that these things are permitted under limited cases, limited circumstances, so therefore also on Erev. But that's not the real reason. The reason is because it's Tzarech Rabim.
So can't you include there, like the fishermen should be able to fish Erev Yom Tov because people need fish for Yom Tov?
You're asking, in the Mishnah, we would have to look up the Maseches Pesachim whether in fact the brises that add other professions. I'm assuming that the reason why I didn't mention the fishermonger or the butcher is because those things you could have done a day or 2 days before. While you want to go and take a haircut at the last moment, because you're not going to be able to take a haircut now for the next 4 or 5 weeks, or 7 weeks, depending on your minig, like boimer, etc.
So the same thing with the laundry. You could have done your laundry a day or two or three, or you bring in your dry cleaning right before Pesach, good luck getting it back.
You're thinking of a person who has 8 suits, you can go and change
this. People didn't have much clothing, they gave you one pair of clothes, they washed it, that's all they had.
Exactly. He needed it through yesterday. I had a chasana yesterday, right. I have a mitzvah, I needed that with that. But now I need it for Yom Tov. So, anyway, Ayin Maseches Pesachim. Back to the Mishnah. Look at the Mishnah Vayta. New Mishnah. Ein mefane bayis lebayis mefane hu lechatzeray. A person wants to move some of his furniture out of his home into another home, either because he bought a new house or for somebody else's home. So he wants him mefane. He wants to go and move it. Now, I want to do it in Chol Hamoed. No. Chol Hamoed is Hashtik Yom Tov. You don't do it before Yom Tov. Do it after Yom Tov. You cannot go move items and furniture and articles from one house to the other. What you can do is you can take it out of your house and instead of installing it in the other person's house, take it to that other person's chatzer. And the Gemara is going to ask, once you're moving it from your house to the other person's property, you know, what difference does it make? You leave in the chatzer, the chatzer already taken to the house. The Gemara is going to ask them and answer that shortly. What happens if you left Kalim at the base of Uman? Either that you asked the Uman to custom make them for you, or something that was broken and you asked them to go and fix it for you. You're now going to bring those Kalim back on Cholam Moed if you don't need them. On the Amud Beis is going to tell us about certain kelim that you need and certain kelim that you can wait until after Yom Tov. Em Choshish Lahem, what happens if you're afraid from them? What are you afraid of? That the Umen may keep it for himself and not give it back to you? Then you can go and say to him, here, I pay you for your services, give me back the kelim, but don't bring it home, you know, don't bring it home, but rather leave it in the Chotzer Cheres, another Chotzer where it is watched, it's a Chotzer Mishnemeres, so you don't have to worry it's going to be stolen from that other Chotzer, but don't bring it home to yourself, because it's considered like Uvdin Bechol, that you're not treating the Yontif with the proper respect, and with respect, with proper Kedusha. So now we go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. Freitimar, you start off ein mafan bayis la bayis, but you learn mafan la chatzeroi. Freitimar va amris reisha ein mafan klal. Our Mishnah on the surface says don't move things out of your house, and if you can't move it to the other person's house, then why should be able to go mafan it to the other person's chatzer? Don't seem to make sense. Amrabayis seif asol mabayis shebechatzer. We're not talking about transferring it to another chatzer or to another bayis and another chatzer. We're talking about you're allowed to move it out of your house into your own chotzer. You want to move this table because it's getting old and this and that, and you sold it, you want to get rid of it, and you want to give it to somebody else. You're not allowed to move that on yonta from your house to his house. You're not even move it to the other person's chotzer. You can move it into your own chotzer. That you can do. Take the thing out of your house, put it in front of your door, put it in outside your chotzer, that's okay. But don't move it out.
Why is it chomoy? If it's your own chotzer, you can do that on yonta itself. Because your own chutzner is a permitted area to carry into. If you want to move it out on Yontif, so if you can do it on Yontif, you should do a Chol Moed.
It would only be because of the Tirchi Yisera, that you are ruining the spirit of Yontif by going and carrying big tables from your house
and Tirchi Yisera is also Asar Chol Moed. I don't understand the difference. Yeah. If it's your own chutzner, you could do it on Yontif. Yeah. And Sarach Lomar Chol Moed. And, you know, it doesn't...
I hear you, Lanka. So why don't we talk, instead of talking about the table, let's go and talk about he had a portable fridge. So therefore, that would be mukta to go and move on Yotif, but it's not mukta
okay.
To go on Moed.
Okay.
That he could be mafan with it. Talking more about the name of the and Caleb Esau Uman. Omer Rafa, Bariklan Rafa. When we learned in the yeshiva of Rava, Rava would test us. Tonight, it says in the Mishnah, Mevi and Caleb Esau Uman. That's our Mishnah. Or then I'm going to ask you a question from a brisa. Moilichin, umayvian kelim beis uman. You are allowed to bring the kelim back to the eser uman. Oh, so that's already a steer. Our Mishnah says, ein mevian. Here she says, yomayvian.
And even moilichin, bring them.
Do we see the clear cut?
Yeah, absolutely.
Contradiction. Here it's a mevian. It says ein mevian. As far as moilichin, our Gemara at the moment is not going to focus on that, but we're going to have it in Mi'at Hashem on the Amud Beis. About 10, 12 lines in, the Gemara is going to focus on the moilichin. But in the meantime, we're just focusing here. It says ein mevian. Here it says yom mevian is a steer. Now the brisa continues on. The avu bishein v'tzerich ha-moyed. Even though you don't need it now during chol ha-moyed, you're allowed to be moilich umei v'kelim. No problem. I don't need a chol ha-moyed. Wait until after yom tov. Why do I have to go and bring it home now? That's the Gemara's kasha. V'shanin and leit. So we the talmidim said to the Rebbe. Very good, good Takasha. We think we have a teretz. One teretz is Kamba Ba'aser, Kamba Chalish Amoyed. Our mission is to clearly talk about Chal Amoyed because we're in Mesechus Amoyed Kot. But that brisa that you brought, that Ein Mevi and Kelim Beis Uman, I'm sorry, that Mevi and Kelim Beis Uman is talking about on Erev Yontif. It's Erev Yontif, and the storekeeper is going to, the Uman is going to be closed for the next 10 days because after Yontif, Chal Amoyed. So you're allowed to go be Mevi from Erev Yontif, not a problem. Okay, so that's a good teretz. This is Chol Moed and this is Erev Yontif. Ibo yisei menochav shat. Both of them are Chol Moed. Kan v'mamimai, kan v'sheinam v'mamimai. The question is, do I trust the Uman that he's going to give me back my kelim? I'm afraid he's holding it now for the last 3 months. Every time I call him, he keeps on saying, yeah, yeah, tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. And I want it now. And now Chol Moed, I think there's a window of opportunity to get my kelim. So, in our mission, talking about that he is maminai. He believes the fellow that he's going to give back to him. So then you have no right to take it back from him, Chol Moed. Leave it with the Uman. Masha'en get if it's already if it's a case of Eidu Amin, he doesn't trust him, get it back right now, because he may not get it in the future. Now, this distinction between Maminim and Eidu Aminoi is befedish in the Braisa. V'hatanya, this is not a kasha, this is a losha benichusa. Sh'meidiyin kevim beisa uman, when kigoyin. Oh, so first, the Brice introduces that there are different types of kelim. Going kad mi beis hakador, the kois mi beis hazagog. If I need a kad is a bucket or a barrel, I can go and take the barrel from the beis hakador, that's the barrel maker. The kois is, of course, a kois, a glass, or a kosa becher, mi beis hazagog. Zagog means the glacier, the person that works with glass. I'm allowed to take those things. But I'm not allowed to go and ask back my tzemer, my wool, which I left with the person who dyed the wool. And I can't go and get kelim, such as my suit, from the dry cleaner or from the tailor. I'm not allowed to do that. However, the im'ein lo ayu. So now, what's the difference between the first cases and the second cases? So Rashi says, because the kad and the kois, you need the tzerach hamayit. You're opening up a brand new, huge barrel of wine, or you're bringing wine from the vat in the vase of gas. Vase of bad would be
the
alapres. Yeah. So from the gas or from the store. So you need a kad. You need a bottle to go and put the wine in. Or you need a kois to be able to drink, or to make kiddush, or whatever. So those are the tzarech hamayit. But the tzemer, you can't use it now anyway to go and make a new beged. You got to wait until after yomtiv. And the other kalim that you're using now from the tailor also, you're going to wait, you don't need it now. If you taka need it now because you have no other suit, that's a different story. We're talking about a situation where you don't need it, so therefore, don't bring it home. Dimlei mayoicha, what happens if the Uman doesn't have any money, and he says, please pick it up today in Chol HaMoed. I need the money. Then go to the Uman, the Beis HaTzava, or the Uman that has your Kalim, and say to me, so desperate, here, I pay you in advance, here's the money, and Me'at Shashem, I'll pick it up from you after Yom, and he leaves with him the Kli, or the Tzemer. What he says, oh, yeah, you know what's going to happen? If I pay him now, I'm going to come back after Yontif. He's going to say, you didn't pay me, and prove it. You can't write on Yontif, so he has no proof, no receipt. And he's afraid he's going to keep the tzemer, he's going to keep the kelim. That manicha b'vaysa samach, loy, what he can do is pay him, take, retrieve the kelim, don't bring it home. And what is he going to do with it? He's going to leave it, b'vaysa samach, loy, in a nice house where it's protected, where he doesn't have to worry that it's going to get stolen. What happens if there is no such bias? Any other bias or chotzer is afraid it's going to be stolen during Chol HaMoed, during Yom Tov. If you mitzvah mitzvah basis, then quietly at night, when nobody's looking, he can go and take it home. The whole problem with our Mishnah is, what is this problem of bringing home the kelim from the Beis Uman? We're not talking about something heavy that he needs a U-Haul truck, so what's the problem? The problem is the av shemiltza, he's spoiling the spirit and the kedusha of Yom Tov by doing what appears to be transactions. You're coming, you're going, you're schlepping, you're bringing. So do a b'tzinim b'tzach beis, you're giving the other guy parnasa, but you don't want it to be a maris ayin that people are going to say, oh, you see, you're allowed to go to the cleaners, and you're allowed to go to the tailor, and you're allowed to go pick this up and that up and pay it, and that. No, you can't do it. But Toiv is that person, he needs panasa. And you do bitzina, it's okay. Anyway, so bottom line is, what do I see from this braisa? I see from the braisa that normally, don't take the kelim beis uman, leave it there. But then, ein lo mayoichal, and ein lo maminoi, you can pay him and take it back and bring it all the way home. Ah, so that's the case of the Mevi'in. Our Mishnah is talking about ein Mevi'in, the guy doesn't need the panasa. You trust him, then leave the kelim there. This, the other brisa that Rapapa brought that says Mevi'in is talking about that the guy needed panasa and he doesn't trust him to leave the kelim with him so he can take it all the way up. Okay, everything is great. But Freitin Mara now, it's Torah's the Mevi'in, you answer the Mevi'in kasha. Mailichim kasha! That was what Barry was pointing out at the very outset. What are we going to do with Mailichim? We didn't say, what's the problem with Mailichim? Our Mishnah doesn't talk about Mailichim. Our Mishnah only talks about Mevi'in. It's the brisa that talks about Mailichim. So what's the kasha? I'll tell you what the kasha is. Iktani, it says in the Mishnah, Ein Mevi'in, Madach, you now let it go and bring the kelim back to you, even though under certain circumstances you could use them, and even though you want them back, and maybe you don't trust the guy, Ein Mevi'in. Yes, if you taka don't trust him, then you're allowed to go and bring him back. But otherwise, Ein Mevi'in. Is a coach game Shem Alichim, then certainly you shouldn't be able to go and take kelim to him, because the time that you said, But Mevi'im is to give the guy Parnasa. If you're going to be Moilech Kelim Tim, you're not giving him Parnasa. The Parnasa is going to come when he gives the Kelim back to you, or at least he tells him that it's ready to give him back. Just because when you go and give something to the Umman, you don't pay him in advance. You want to make sure he does the work. So therefore, Koshkech ain't my lichen, and here it says Yom my lichen, and now it's Koshkech ain't my lichen. The Ochastira, and the Machmar to give Shemay Karsim. What it says, you know, you're right. The better teretz was the first teretz that our Mishnah is talking about Cholamoid, and that Bryce is talking about Erev Pesach, Erev Yontiv. Zuk the Mishnah Vayta Mechapin is like Ktsiyos Bekash. You have Ktsiyos, that means you have figs which are drying out in the field. It's now Sukkot time, and you looked at your weather app, and it looks like it's going to rain and pour on Shmini Atzeres right after the Chazan goes and davens Geshem. And therefore you're worried, all of my Ktsiyos are going to spoil in the rain. So you would normally put a tarp on. But unfortunately, all the stores were out of tarps. But he does have kash. And kash is b'diyavet, also a good cover-up for the ktsiyos. Says our Mishnah, no, since it's a hefsid merubah, I'm afraid the ktsiyos are all going to die. They're all going to spoil. You'll have to go and cover them on chol hamoed with kash, with straw. He would normally use another material, but this was his last straw. And that's what he did. He put on the straw. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af ma'avin. Not only are you allowed to put it on, but you're allowed to go and put it in a thick fashion. Now, thick doesn't mean that he puts a double layer, a triple layer, but rather explains Rashi in the Gemara that when we said mechapin, that means that you can kind of spread out the kash, and ma'avin means don't spread it out, compact it so that it is a good total cover for the ktsiyos. We'll see this mitzvah in the Gemara shortly. Now, moichin peyus ksus v'kelim, moichin mitzino l'tzarech hamoid. I need peyrus. You know, we're all out of all the fruits and vegetables. Or I need ksus, that my suit ripped, and I need a brand new pants or whatever. Or kelim, other types of kelim that you need for might. Moich metzina tzarich might. You're allowed to go and sell them, but it should be metzina. Again, we don't want to spoil the ruach, the spirit, the kedusha of chol hamoed. So it's a tzarich might, but do it metzina. Hatzayon about the shushayis v'hagrusayis. Also oisim betzina. Now what are tzayada? Tzayada means those are the people that catch and trap, for instance, fish. Va'ad shushois are people that thresh, from the Lushan dosh. So they're going to thresh all the grain so they should be able to go make it into flour and then be able to bake chalas, matzah, bread, etc. Va'ad grusois is referring to beans, that these are bean millers or bean grinders that will grind the beans for me so I'll be able to make a porridge or a chunt or whatever from it. All of these things are permissible, but again, if you need it for Mayid, you can't wait until after Mayid because you need some fish. This is what Ariel was talking about before. I need a fish! So you're allowed to go, the tziyadim are allowed to do it, but everything should be betzina, so it shouldn't be av shemilza, it shouldn't be a commotion, not the kol rash gadol, but the kol demomadak. Rabbi Yosi Omer, hey mechmiru latzman. These the tzayodim, the teshushos and grusos, they were machmir on themselves. What does Rabbi Yosi mean with that? We're going to see in the Gemara. There will be two potential pshat. We go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. The beginning of the Mishnah says that you're allowed to be mechapin, and Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to even be ma'avin. It's speaking about Rabbi Chiyah bar Abba, Rabbi Asi, Utravai Mishmei Dechezki, Rabbi Yochanan. Chad Omer mechapin means aklushi. Aklushi means you put on the kash, but you leave it kind of weak. Not that it's compacted together effectively, but it's spread out. Ma'avin means asmuchi, that you would put one next to the other so that it will be an effective, good kisur. V'chad omer mechapin means ben aklushi ben asmuchi. Any type of cover, whether you do it tightly, whether you do it loosely, that's called mechapin. Ma'avin oisa oisa min kri. That means that you're allowed to go and even take together all of the figs which are drying in the field, make them into a heap or a mound, and now put the kash on top of it to cover it over. And apparently this is even more effective than just spreading it out over the field. Says Rabbi Yehuda, even though that involves more tircha, of course, to assemble and gather all the fruit, it is permitted. Tana b'hochi taka right to this second pshat. Ma'avin uysayse kimin kri. That's a pshat, the word ma'avin, to make like a heap. Div Rabbi Yehuda, like we said in the second pshat in the Gemara. Now we are concerned about Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi says Hein hechmiru al atzman. What does that mean? Ibayu. Hein hechmiru al atzman until you have abdi klal. Does Rabbi Yossi say, I disagree with the Tanakhama? The Tanakhama says that the Tzayod and the Shushais and Grusais did a bitzina letzayra chamoiro. For that matter, he's not just arguing on the second part, but also on the first part. The moichri peiris ksus v'kelem, that you moichri bitzina betoy chamoid. Says Rabbi Yossi, no. This may or not be permissible, but I gotta tell you, they were machmer even more than that. That the people that I know in various communities, the moichri peiris, ksus, kenim, tzion, and shusha, krusais, they closed shop for the entire moid, and they said, mister, you should have thought about it before chol moid, go and buy something by a goy, but I'm not doing anything for you, I'm machmer, I'm closing my trade, my profession, my store, for the next 8 days for the entire yantif. So that's what Rabbi Yossi is trying to tell you, that they were more machmer than was necessary and more than what the Mishnah allows. Oydilma, the Havavdi Betzina. Maybe it's the other way around. That Rabbi Yossi is saying, you didn't have to do it Betzina. A person who is a Moicha Pedis Kusra Kalim, he could have had his store open wide the entire day. He could have put up big, big signs, special Cholamoid clearance sale. That they did a betzina, that in itself was a chumra that was unnecessary. And therefore, if that's the case, then Rabbi Yossi is more mankel than our Mishnah. So, that's the question. What did Rabbi Yossi mean when he said, hey, mechmir al-atzman? Did he mean to say that, in fact, lemaisa, all of these trade professionals were even more machmer than the Mishnah requires? They didn't have to, but they were. Or is Rabbi Yossi saying that the Tanakhama is being more machmer than is necessary? Because really you don't have to sell a mitzvah. You can go and do it in the public, and therefore he's really just pushing it. It's not necessary.
He used to make earlier in the Masechta, right, Rabbi Yossi?
Yeah. So you're going to tell me how can he be more makel over here? How can he be more machmer over there?
Yeah.
And like we had Nigmar the other day, Hilchas Moed, Hilchas Kusim. You can't bring a raya in one case from the other.
Thank you.
Right, so we have. Zogti Mori Advaite Toshima Moichri Peiris Ksus VeKelev Moichri Metzino Toicha Moed. That's our Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Oimer. Now Rabbi Yossi says the following: Tagri Tveria. When I was in Tveria, I remember the Tagorim, the merchants in Tveria. Hey, Nachmir Alatzu Shali Moichri Kolikar. They said they put up big signs in the store. We're not selling. We're closed for the next 8 days. Pay this ksus v'kelim, make sure to go and buy before or after because we are closed for good. So therefore we see clearly like the first tzad of the Iboy. But not only that, let's go back to the tzayodin. Tzadei chayis v'oifes v'dogim. People that are in the business of capturing or catching chayis oifes v'dogim. Tzad mitzin v'trechamay. Like what the Mishnah says, trechamay, mitzin. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, see the Akoi, when I was in Akoi, I remember the people that were the fishmongers or the people that the bird catchers, hey, Nechmin al Absolutely Yitzon Kalikar, they closed up shop for the entire Yom Tov. Zero, Kornish. The Shushi are the people that are threshing the grain, and they take the grain and they make it into Chilka Targis Vitisni. What does that mean? The Gemara will address that in another couple of lines. All of those people, says the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, and says this Braisa, as long as you do Mitzinah, no, not to spoil the Kedusha of Yatav. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, I remember when I was in Tzipori, the Shushi Tzipori, Henechmir Latzushla Yu, Doshin Kalekar. And with this, we have concluded this discussion, and now we've been pushing our shayt. We want to know what did Rabbi Yossi mean by Henechmir Latzman. He meant to say, yes, from my personal experience and my encounters with people in these trades, I see that they're even more machmir than our Mishnah. They didn't have to be, they could sell a mitzvah, but they were real machmirim, Erlich Eden, they didn't want to go and do a mitzvah. Zero, they closed up shop the entire time. Amar Rabbi. Since we started talking about this Chilka Targis V'tisni, can you explain to me what does this mean? Chilka means Chon L'tarti. We're taking a kernel of grain, and we are now threshing it, or crushing it, or grinding it, or whatever. Chon L'tarti means that I took one kernel, and I now split it down the middle, now it's in two pieces. Targis is from Russian trio. Chon L'tlas. I took that one kernel, and we crushed it, we threshed it into three pieces. Tisni means that we really made it very, very fine. Chodol Arba, from one kernel I made it into four pieces. Kios Rav Dimi Yomar, Rav Dimi said that Chilka is really Kunza. Vus mein Kunza, says Rashi, Kunza means spelt, kusemis. So therefore, Chilka is not like we said until now, that you split it one into two. No, Kunza means, or Chilka means, we're talking about spelt. Faith Mar Meisvei, chilka tragis v'tisni tmeim b'chol mokayim. These three are mekabel tuma. Now, as you know, for any ochel to be mekabel tuma, it has to be mukshel mekabel tuma. Says what mishlo the man yamachar l'tarti l'tat glass ularba. According to the first man yam that says that the definition of chilka tragis and tisni means that it was split up and crushed in two, either two pieces, three pieces, four pieces. Discussion. There's no way that you can go and cut these things up or crush them up unless you first soak them in water, and then by soaking them in water, they become mukshel kabel tuma. That's fine. If you're talking about spelt, you might be talking about the raw spelt, you know, that you just cut from the ground. You have a kernel, you have a grain stalk of spelt. So why is it tuma? There was no mushla kabel tuma. Everything more the kunza that we're talking about, the chilka we're talking about, going to mikrofon. It's talking about that the outer shell had already been removed from the lashon klipa. How do you remove the outer klipa, the outer shell from grain, including spelt? If you wouldn't go and put it into water and let it soak, it would be almost impossible to go and remove the shell from the outside. It's very, very difficult. When you soak it, then it loosens up, and then you can do it. So therefore, this is taka ulta mukshel kabotum. How did it get the name chilka? I can understand that if you take a kernel and you divide it into two chalakim, it's called chilka. But why is kunza, why is spelt called chilka? The shokal chilkayu, Rashi says it means that we took off the outer shell and now it's chalak. And
smooth.
All of those of you that know any Hebrew in Eretz Yisrael, when they talk about glat kusher, they say kasher chalak. Chalak means that it's nice and smooth. Here too, it's nice and smooth.
Slippery, slippery.
Okay, that's hotel. That's lahachlik. That's it's slippery. Anyway, so chalak means that it's smooth and glat. How did it get smooth and glat? Because of the fact that they soaked it and they took off the outer shell. That's how it got the name chilka. Thank you for my sway. Chabakasha. Hanoidim and a dog. When the person makes a neder, I'm not going to eat grain. Grain products. Osir, after full of mitzri, yomish. He's also not allowed to eat dried out mitzri beans, because apparently that was sold, that was known at the time as dagan. And when it comes to nidarim, you go after Lashem b'nei Yadam, if that's what people call dagan, no! So you can't eat full of mitzri yomish. However, you are allowed to go and eat the moist mitzri beans, because apparently that was not known as dagan. And so that's okay. So that's fine. And that nothing to do with us. But what does have to do with us is umutter, if you made a neder and a dongan, you're allowed to eat be'orez, that's rice, be'chilka, be'tragis, v'tisni. Those three things that we spoke about, that you took the kernel and that you crushed it into smaller pieces. Two pieces, three pieces, four pieces. Eventually, the man yama chod le'tarti, chod le'klas, chod le'arba, shaper. The nafkal material is dogon. It's no longer called grain. If a person goes to the store and says, I want grain, and you offer him to go and give him some piece of bread, I didn't ask for bread, I asked for grain. I'm going to offer him cereal, I didn't ask for cereal, I want the grain. So chilka, targis, and tisni, which are already processed into two, three, four little pieces, and from that, presumably you can already make from that a porridge or a farina or a cereal or something like that. So I understand why he's mutter. Elaman Yom Kunsa, if you're telling me that we're talking about the original spelt, well, you just took off the outer shell, but it's still the original spelt. The Dogma Aliyahu said it should be Osir. Why does it say that he's mutter? Says more kasha. Yeah, you have a good point. From this price, it's takamashma that chilka is not spelt, but chilka is this divided up, cut up kernel of wheat or barley or something else. So tomorrow by the Ravuna Sharluhulano Krupaisa. Krupaisa says Rashi, a mochre besummon. The psalm that we're talking about now are not perfumes that women wear. We're talking about some spices that you use for cooking. So he allowed these spice sellers, Lemez Lufune Beorchayu Bishuka, on Cholamoy to go and sell their wares like normal. Even though Cholamoy, no, you can do Meshuka out in the open. Ezer of Kahana, Chanut Psucha Listov, Poiseach Venoil Kedarkai. Psucha Lurishus Ram, Poiseach Achas Venoil Achas. What is this all about? We're talking about now a person who wants to go and sell Peirois. Although it said in the Mishnah that you are allowed to Moichri Peirois, but they can only Moichri Metzina. Metzina means quietly. That doesn't mean that you close the whole day and you only open up your store at 9 o'clock at night. That will probably be a big commotion, people coming with their torches at night to go and buy the pears. So how do you do a bit sinner? So chanut psucha, if it's opened up, listop. Stop means that there are stairs or seats or benches in front of the chanut where people would sit down or where they would put their wares. So then the chanut itself you couldn't see because the stove was obstructing the chanut. Then you can leave it all the way open on Chol HaMoed because anyway you can't see into the store. It's blocked by this group of stairs or benches in front. What happens if it's open to Rishis Rabim but there are multiple doors? If he has two doors, one here and one there, only leave one open and close the other one. That's a shtickel tzina. If it's on Chol HaMoed, like on Hoshana Rabbah, which is the day before Shemini Atzeret, the same thing applies to Pesach. Because Yom Tov Achron, just like they're selling the flags and these plastic Sifrei Torah for the children, it's Shemini Atzeret, it's Simchas Torah, you're allowed to go and open up your doors broad and wide to go and sell payrois, and everybody should have lots of payrois for the second days of Yom Tov. That if we didn't have this far of the Kavod Yom Tov Achron, you wouldn't be able to go and open the stores. And here you're telling me that Rav Huna was matter for the Krupaisa to go and sell their wares out in the open in the shuk. How did he permit that? He's talking about Krupaisa that sell psalmim, which means tavlin, spices. This price that I've kind of quoted is talking about ma'atra shukir ir bepeiros. We're selling peiros. Peiros are different than tavlin. What's the difference between peiros and tavlin? Look at the last five lines of the Rashi right before the new perek. Ha bepeiros sheyesh lachshoyd shekoyn letzirich yimoyis hashana. Maybe this person is going to go and buy now those types of peiros that can last beyond Chol HaMoed and Yom Tov. For instance, he's buying dried raisins or dried prunes that presumably you can hold for a month or two. So therefore, I have to be nervous and concerned that maybe the person is buying it now for Kodesh Hashanah, for after Yom Tov. So therefore, close the doors halfway, have them obstructed, only open one door, not the other door.
Only have one set of lights on, don't have the super illuminated.
Exactly. B'tavlin, moichi kedarki, you're going kruvi kashinin, hakul yoynishu l'tzorich moidhein. You know why? These things have a very, very short shelf life. They're not going to stick around for more than a day or two. So everybody knows, why am I buying it? I'm not buying it for next week. By next week, they will be spoiled. I'm buying it for now. That's why you're because everybody knows you're buying a Letzayrecha Moed. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael Zag. You mentioned Zag, isn't it? Cold too.